Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
You're listening to Around the Dial, your one-stop shop for sports talk's best moments every day. Here's your host, CBS Sports Radio's Damon Amendolara.
Welcome inside Around the Dial, the best of your sports talk for Wednesday, June the 5th. I'm your host, DA. Tonight, game number 3 of the NBA Finals. The Golden State Warriors do what the Golden State Warriors normally do, which is survive and advance, which is what happened in game number 2. They didn't play their best basketball game, found themselves down by double digits, and yet came roaring back to take the lead in the third quarter on a 20-0 run that spanned both sides of halftime, and then held on to win as Andre Iguodala hit the dagger at the buzzer. But in that game, one of the storylines was the quote-unquote janky defense that the Toronto Raptors employed against Steph Curry. And on that final play, Steph was doubled, which left Iguodala wide open. It was a box and one, which is unusual for the NBA game. Let's start with Jason Richardson, a former Golden State Warriors star that starred at a time when the Warriors weren't so good. He joined the Damon Bruce Show on San Francisco's 95.7 The Game.
Have you ever seen a box in one thrown at you or any team you played at in an NBA game? I'm guessing the last time you saw a box in one, like Gene Cady was throwing it at you.
No, actually, the last time I saw a box in one was in a high school game. I never see anything like that in at the college level or at the pro level, boxing one. But I think the Warriors did a great job, Steph, trying to get him open, trying to get him free. They're going to throw gimmick, defenses out there. And I think, Steve Kerr is going to do a great job of figuring out a way how to get Steph the ball if Clay couldn't go. But I'm pretty sure Clay going to figure out a way to get on the court. It's the finals. You really want to play. You really want to be out there with your teammates and help your teammates. So, I know they say he's questionable right now, but I'm pretty sure Clay's going to be playing.
Jason Richardson here on 95.7 The Game. Again, it was knees that betrayed you later in your career. You ever deal with a hammy? How long did it take you to get over a hammy?
Man, hammies is a weird muscle. I mean, it could take, a couple of weeks. It could take a couple of days. It's just depending on, how much treatment the guy's getting, how severe the injury it is. But that's one of those tricky things. It's almost like your back, and you just don't know. One day it might feel great, and you might sleep the wrong way, and you can't walk for 2 weeks. So it's a real mystery injury. But I'm pretty sure Clay's getting around-the-clock treatment for it to try to be prepared for tomorrow's game.
When you look at Toronto, does it remind you of any team that you saw in your era? And if so, how? And I'm talking about above and beyond just having a great player in Leonard. When you look at them stylistically, who do they remind you of?
It's pretty hard to put my finger on it because they do have a very old school vibe as far as you know, giving the ball to Kawhi and have him, you know, post up a little bit, take some mid-range, some ISO basketball. It's hard to compare it because then on the other side, they could go out there and they could shoot a lot of threes and make a lot of threes. With Siakam and, you know, Marc Gasol, you know, he's shooting the ball well. Kyle Lowry, I mean, they got some guys that can really play in Young. So it's just a mix. It's a real different vibe of what they give off because they could be, you know, two different teams at any given moment.
So speaking of different teams, obviously the Warriors have had to try a lot of different things with all the injuries. I know you said you think Klay's going to be out there. I agree with you, but let's just say he's not. Who do you think is the guy to step up and pick up some of the scoring slack if you're missing both Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson tomorrow?
That's going to be tough. I mean, of course, you have to rely heavily on Steph, but you can't burn and run Steph to the ground. So Draymond's going to have to pick it up. DeMarcus is going to have to pick it up. But I think Cook is going to actually be the one guy for me that's going to step up big time. He has some big threes in the game, too, and I think he's going to step up off the bench and have a big role in the game.
You know, whatever works, and what the Toronto Raptors need to make sure they avoid, and what Nick Nurse needs to avoid, is ego getting in the way of winning. And I think that by employing the box in one, which is maybe seen as a lesser than defense, a quote, junk defense in the NBA, if it works and gets under Steph Curry's skin, if it works and gets under the Warriors' skin, if it makes them think about something or annoy them, hey, who cares? If you're in their head, that's a good place to be because so rarely are the Warriors ever uncomfortable. So count me in the camp of supporting the employment of a, quote, janky defense and a box in one, because however it is that you knock them off their spot, you got to do it to beat the Warriors. It's not often that we would be near the top of Around the Dial and play an audio clip that had to do with a non-news event 50 years ago. But that's kind of where we find ourselves today because the story is just so good. Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, the Hit King, has a new book out. He's always looking for alternate ways to make some money. And in this book, he details a story, an anecdote about a time in Vietnam when he was not serving. He was simply there as a celebrity baseball player. And he was there with Joe DiMaggio. And they were in the middle of an intimate setting. And the Hit King spills the beans to Mike Francesa on WFAN in New York. Look out.
You went on a tour with DiMaggio.
I won't talk about it, don't
I? Listen. All right. Listen. Well, you know, the old saying.
He was the best, by the way.
When Marilyn Monroe was asked about Sinatra, she said he's no DiMaggio. Okay. And you can explain why.
Yeah.
Because you gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
Yeah, I did.
Tell people how you gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
Well, no. Can I do the whole story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We're down in, as you may not know, South Vietnam is a jungle.
He went to Vietnam with Joe DiMaggio on a tour.
Yeah, 23 days I lived with Joe. And it's so hot you can't sleep, and all of a sudden Joe says, I got to take a shower. I said, Joe, we're not downtown Saigon. We're in the damn middle of the jungle. He said, I don't give a darn. I'm Joe DiMaggio. I got to take a shower. So the only way you could take a shower there is a guy had to get up on a chair, me, have a bucket of water, pour it into this canvas thing.
Pour it over his head.
Pull the chain, and the guy underneath took a shower. I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower. Now, the best way to describe Joe DiMaggio is he was a penis with a man hanging from it. You're going to get us kicked off the air, Mike. You know how we call them thongs today?
I understand.
And when I played, they called them shar shoes.
I understand.
Joe wore three of them.
I understand. Okay,
I'm going to tell you something. That guy was the greatest, man. He was so nice and so humble to those soldiers over there. It was absolutely amazing.
He was regal, kind of regal, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
he walked like a king. He thought he was a king too, but he walked like he was a king. Right?
I'll tell you one thing that you can ask me why on the second one, but I've been around two people that walked into a room and the room lit up. One was Joe.
Who was the other one?
Bill Parcells.
Really?
When I walked into a private room at Gulfstream Racetrack. Yeah. He had a nice coat on. The room just beamed when he walked in. This is when he was coaching the Giants.
Yes.
And, you know, I met seven presidents.
He and I are very close, as you know. So very close.
Bill Parcells is the man.
Yeah, he's got
you asked him about that time at the Gulfstream when he walked in there.
He
didn't know it, but he lit up the damn room.
Well, that's nice.
That's pretty hard to do.
That's a high compliment.
That's pretty hard to do.
And you know, putting him in
now,
a place
if you
with
walked
DiMaggio,
in a room, the lights would go off. When's the last time you had this much fun doing an interview?
Now, listen. You've been great today. Now, I got a couple more for you. Number one, will it break your heart if you don't go in the Hall of Fame?
No, I'm already over it.
Honestly.
I'm already over it.
Is your family over it?
Yeah.
Everyone's over
it? My family knows what kind of player I was.
Right, but does it
my
mean...
My fans know what kind of player I was.
Does it mean something to you?
Sure, it would mean a lot to you. I mean, that his or her sport, everybody should want to go to the Hall of Fame. All my buddies are up there. You know, half of them are up there because of me.
Well, I don't think you woke up today, downloaded this podcast, and figured you'd hear a story about Joe DiMaggio's anatomy from 50 years ago. But hey, you know what? Some things just can't wait. And so I'm glad I'm here to deliver that to you. I'm glad you know that this is now a place that's a safe zone around the dial.
You're going to get us kicked off the air, Mike.
And occasionally we'll bring you real amazing anecdotes that'll never leave your brain ever, 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 ever.
The best way to describe Joe DiMaggio is he was a penis with a man hanging from it.
Like that one. In Cleveland, there's major expectations for this football season. Perhaps the most excited Browns fans have been since the 80s. But there's always something that feels like it could knock this off course. A first-year head coach in Freddie Kitchens, a young quarterback with a lot of responsibility on his shoulders that can be a bit of a hothead, a diva wide receiver that didn't show up to the voluntary part of OTAs, and now a running back that wants to be traded. Duke Johnson says, I'm not getting enough touches, so deal me. And thus, Baker Mayfield responded and kind of suggested, get on the bus or get off the bus because we're moving straight ahead. Was this a criticism of his running back? Well, here's the guys on Baskin and Phelps, a 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland.
I think those were bold comments, and I wonder how they play in the locker room. Because very rarely do you hear a quarterback or anybody talk about another guy's situation as honestly as Baker just talked about that, as forcefully as Baker just talked about Duke.
Jeff, is that Baker, or is that a second-year player, or is that what a quarterback's supposed to do?
Well, it might be what a quarterback's supposed to do, but when's the last time you heard a quarterback say stuff like that?
Well, when's the last time we won a playoff game? That's why it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
But Jeff, I mean, I mean, you shook your head at me, but I'm telling you, we're talking about a team that has been losers since they came back in 99.
Okay, I'm not saying I disagree with what he said. I just, to take it and go to when's the last time we won a playoff game,
no,
I think is really...
No, it's not. It's about attitude. You just said you don't really hear quarterbacks say that, right?
Well, not. I don't mean our quarterback. I mean any quarterback.
Well, okay, I'm all in for the attitude change.
Okay,
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying I disagree with it. I like that fact. I hope that it plays okay in the locker room and that Baker doesn't catch grief for it from other teammates who may be supportive of Duke. And so
nothing is given to you.
Absolutely.
Nothing is given to
you. Absolutely. So I don't mind Baker saying that, and I think it kind of sets the tone that he wants his team on the same page, looking at the same prize. I don't mind him saying what he said. I just hope the other players don't mind him saying what he said. That's my only thought here.
I hate to say it, he has the ball on the majority of the plays, and it doesn't really matter. Be a leader. I have no problem with this. It's refreshing to me. It's refreshing. If you're with it, you're either with us or you're not. I mean, it's the whole, get your head. We want your head to be here. You want to be professional? Be professional. I don't know. Maybe if he played for another team, I'd be like, oh, that's kind of cocky for a second-year quarterback.
You would definitely think that's a little cocky for a second-year quarterback.
But I'm so tired of what we've watched over the years. Maybe it's about time we got a guy like this. Let's see what he does. And now you're seeing it. You know, we say that over. Let's see what he does. Well, guess what? He called out one of his teammates today. Marlboro man.
He certainly didn't cut him any slack. Let's
Marlboro man. Couldn't have had a better answer. Can't wait to see how people twist this around. You go, Marlboro man.
Yeah, I think it has to be interpreted as a criticism of Duke Johnson.
And in doing so, you know, Baker Mayfield did cross an imaginary line that does exist for leaders in a locker room not to call out other guys' finances or other guys' employment situations. But in some ways, you know, you got to consider it refreshing because Baker Mayfield isn't taking the old tact with this team. Now, he's not accomplished enough to continue to go after the guys on this roster. I mean, he hasn't accomplished anything that Duke Johnson hasn't accomplished, so it's not quite like he has the ability to call out a guy like Duke just yet, but who knows? Maybe that resonates in that locker room. I think the big thing is there's so many expectations on the Browns. Are we really ready to say that they're about to climb that mountain when all of these other things are swirling? I mean, it kind of feels like this is a ticking time bomb and that because of expectations, there's a lot of egos pulling in different directions, and that's not normally how winning football teams are built. Earlier this week, Commissioner Roger Goodell openly talked about eliminating a couple of preseason games. Right now, the four preseason games are obviously unnecessary because so few starters even play in those games. And so would the NFL ever move to an 18-game regular season with a two-game preseason? Here's former Saints quarterback Bobby Hebert on New Orleans WWL Sports Talk.
I'm telling you, the NFL, this is going to happen within a handful of years. So I'm just going to throw out there 2025. By 2025, and I'd say even before that, the groundwork would be laid as far as the new collective bargaining agreement between the players and the management a couple of seasons from now, that people don't want to see, I don't care if you're trying to develop a player, consider your roster, they don't want to see the bogus games when you're paying full price. As far as the fans, I think Roger Goodell acknowledged that. So I think now the give and take, you're going to see 18 regular season games. You might say 18, that's a lot of games. I don't know. In the early 80s, Christian, that's almost, that's like 35 years ago. In the USFL, we played 18 games. They played two preseason games. So it can be done. Now the players, I think, in collective bargaining, will not give up. As far as the eight, in other words, let's say you're getting paid $1 million over 16 games.
Right.
If you're going to add two extra games, they want to be compensated for that. You can't extend it. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You can't stretch it, your salary, into 18 games being paid over 16. And I think the players deep down would agree to that.
More jobs.
More games, more paid. Now, when you play
in the roster, more jobs.
Yes, when you're playing 18 games. What do you have to do? Because you want the best of the best, that you got to extend the roster. So I would think it's good for the fans if you play more meaningful games, that being 18. It's good for the networks, even if you had a couple of buys, because the networks love it, because the ratings is the best programming they could put forth as far as the ratings. And I think you'll see the Super Bowl, that not necessarily be at the beginning of February, but be 2 weeks later at the end of February. I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see increased rosters, more meaningful regular season games, and the Super Bowl being extended to late February. I just think that's going to happen.
Yeah, the players, I think this is all going to be collectively bargained.
Yes, it has to be.
Unless it is. But I think talking to some of the players today in the locker room, they weren't too keen on the idea of 18 regular season games.
Well, they're not, but they would be. Okay, I'm just going to throw out there because just for the audience, and not that the players all make this much. Let's say you get $16 million for 16 games, $1 million a game. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not playing, because the owners are trying. Come on, that, I can't believe they were trying to do this. But, yeah, they would say, okay, well, we want to. You know, what's good for the fans and all that, we're going to pay you $16 million over 18. No, the players don't want, okay, we want $18 million over 18 games. If you're going to add extra meaningful games, because the preseason, they don't pay the players jack.
Nope.
I mean,
they don't get paid.
They don't get paid
for OTAs. They don't get paid for minicamp.
They don't get paid for the preseason. But the fans are getting charged regular season prices for preseason games. So how do you entice the fans to say bang for your buck? What are you doing for them? A meaningful game that counts. But then you also got to compensate the players, considering the revenue that you're bringing in. And what I'm telling you, The NFL, you don't think that, I mean, the NFL, the networks, I don't care if it's CBS, NBC, ABC, ESPN, whatever it might be. Wouldn't they rather program a real game than a preseason game? Come on. And then even extend the playoffs. And you can work out the schedule, and you have a couple of buys, the players are healthy and all that, and you get just more football. Just by adding 2 weeks to the schedule, instead of beginning in February, the end of February, to have the Super Bowl. So I'm telling you, Christian, I'm not negotiating anything, but I got so much damn common sense, that's what's going
to
occur.
They need to put you in charge.
Well, I mean, I think I could be fair on both sides, where it could benefit the league, we could benefit the players, and three-peat, and also benefit the fans, what they would want to see.
Look, I think the owners or the commissioner would do an 18-game schedule tomorrow if they could, but they got to get the NFLPA to write off on it. And is the NFLPA, with everything that we know about player safety and brain science and brain trauma and CTE, are they about to sign off on an 18-game schedule, even if it means more money, even if it means a bigger cut of the pie? I think the owners are probably a little sensitive to what has been painted as ownership that doesn't care about player safety, and that maybe could open them up for lawsuits down the road. They've tried to avoid that at all costs. But if the owners could get a sign-off legally from the players, I see no reason why they wouldn't want more regular season games, because that means more money to their regular season television package that they make the most of their profit out of anyway. In Baltimore, by the end of the month, Manny Machado will have returned as a member of the San Diego Padres. Machado is one of the best Orioles players perhaps ever, certainly in recent memory, but now he's gone. And so when he comes back in a couple of weeks, should Orioles fans boo him? That's the debate on Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on 105.7 The Fan.
You know, in the last segment we talked about our next 105.7 The Fan night, mm-hmm. Manny Machado coming back to town.
June 25th.
I said I can't boo him. You said you will. Corey Randallsdale has a question for you. What's up, Corey?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I just have a question for Jerry. Jerry.
Yes.
Can you give me your rationale behind booing and make it legit? Give me a legitimate rationale as to why you were booing Manny Machado. Because to my understanding, at some point in time, he really wanted to be here, and they gave Davis his money. That's my opinion, but they gave Davis his money, IP.
No, you're right. You're right.
No, that's not. No, no, no.
No, no. He did want to be here at one point in time.
At one point in time, he was going to go to. Listen, Corey, Manny Machado was going into free agency regardless.
Davis' contract did nothing.
He was going. Manny Machado wanted to go into free agency. The Orioles tried to talk to him. He wanted to go into free agency.
But I believe there was some bitterness over Chris Davis's contract.
That's all speculation. I mean, that's just like Corey. I mean, I want you to answer Corey's question. But like Corey's saying that, he wanted to be here, but the Davis contract did it. It's speculation. Manny Machado wanted to go into free agency, just like Bryce Harper did. But you can go ahead and answer Corey's question.
Well, it goes back to his lack of effort, where he half-assed it a lot of times and didn't give 100%, made the ridiculous comments, which I just expressed before we went to break, about being owed by the state of Maryland, or, not being grateful enough, the state of Maryland wasn't, and making just out of context comments that just don't add up for a guy who was treated very fairly here by the fan base, I thought. But, and then also said he dreamed of being a Padre, which is disingenuous. So there's a couple of reasons. I'll come up with some more if you need them. Give me some time. Okay.
If you didn't grow up in San Diego, who dreams of being a Padre?
Nobody.
Said no one ever. Yeah. Right. Like, come on.
All those World Series they won.
I mean, man, I could see Yankees, tradition. Cardinals, Dodgers.
Right.
Really? Padres?
I know he wanted to be on the West Coast, but memo to Manny, the Dodgers didn't even want you back. So I won't be alone on that night booing him. I'll just join the crowd.
No.
Yeah.
And I don't usually boo. I'm not booing him. Yeah, I don't usually boo, but I will on this day, because especially I'll be in the stands for $10.57, or at least you will be listening if you join our fan section on June the 25th.
And I hope you do.
You should. I mean, seriously, that's one of the best. And you know me, I like a good bargain. This is one of the best bargains in baseball out there. A chance. This will be a national story when he comes back. Okay.
See, this is what I don't like. I mean, the Baltimore Sun. Shame on them because they put out an article. The headlines is Manny Machado on the Orioles. I did a lot for the state, and they didn't show me any one bit of love. And the way that's put in context is he's saying the state owes him something. And that's not it. Please read the whole quote. The Dodgers, last year, they showed me some love. The Orioles drafted me. I did a lot for that community. I did a lot for that state. And they didn't show me a little bit of love. He's talking about the Orioles. He's not talking about the state. He's not talking about the city of Baltimore. Well,
why did he mention the state?
Because he said he did a lot for the city and a lot for the state. Manny Machado had charities. He had charities, and he said the Orioles didn't show him a lot of love. People are running away with that. If you read the quote,
it's a foolish comment.
He said the Orioles drafted me. Then he goes on and says, I did a lot for that community, I did a lot for that state, and they didn't show me a little bit of love. He's talking about the Orioles. He's not talking about the community. He's not talking about the state. Manny Machado never said the state owed him anything. He said the Orioles didn't show him love.
And don't even talk about the state. Just mention the city of Baltimore.
Well, it's in the conversation. He's saying I'm a community guy. Not only am I a good baseball player, but I was a community guy. And they didn't show me any love. Whether you can agree or disagree with that. That's not my thing. But I hate when people mislead others and saying he says something he didn't say. That's misleading. That's not what he's saying. So to say that he said something about the state, he didn't say the state owed him anything. He thought the Orioles should have showed him more love based on what he did on the field and based on what he did in the community. Now, you can disagree with that. I don't care.
Yeah, I interpret it different.
But that's not what he said, though.
Well, again, I interpret it different.
He started off by saying the Dodgers last year. Then he talks about the Orioles. The Dodgers showed him love. The Orioles didn't. If you read the whole quote, it's clear that he's talking about the two teams.
I'd love to know how the Dodgers
because they traded for him. He's talked about that in the article.
They traded for him. Okay.
They gave up a lot for him. He's talked about that also in the article. They gave up a lot for him
and didn't want to keep him.
You're right.
Watching him half-assed in the World Series.
But he's talking about they showed him a lot of love, and he specified how by giving up a lot for him. If you read the whole article, we can't just read headlines and run with that. If you read the whole article, he's very specific. And what he's talking about.
Has he gone to Milwaukee yet? Because that'll be fun, too.
I don't know, when actually. I do want to see when he goes to Milwaukee.
They will be booing him in Milwaukee, too.
Booing him? Yeah. He's going to get one in the ear hole.
I mean, I just remember he came back to D.C., and there was a big story about him being in the area. So when he comes to Baltimore, it'll be huge headlines.
I've always said I'm not anti-booing. Now, making it personal in terms of vulgarity or personal stuff, that I'm not down with, and especially with kids and young people in stadiums, getting personal, getting vulgar, not what I'm about. But booing, to me, booing is a grand old American tradition that hurts nobody. And if you are a paying customer, you are allowed to boo. And booing a guy that left you to come back now as an opponent, yeah, I think you're allowed to boo. I've got no problem with that if Orioles fans want to do it. Now, finally, Stanley Cup playoffs, and now the final comes to a Game 5 in Boston tomorrow night. And if you want a definition of just how tough hockey players are, Zdeno Chara takes a puck to the face, sprawls down into the ice, loses both of his gloves, blood is pouring out, has to be helped to the ice. This is one of the toughest guys in hockey. Helped off of the ice and has a broken jaw and might play tomorrow. He might play with a broken jaw. We were talking about Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson being out because of a quad strain or a hamstring pull. This guy's got a broken jaw. So is he going to play? And if not, what happens to the Bruins? Here's WEEI in Boston with Dale and Keith.
Connor Clifton picked a really bad time to be terrible. He had had a really good playoff run. I think more ups than downs for Connor Clifton. Cliffy hockey, all that stuff. I thought he's been pretty good. He was really bad. And when you only have five defensemen, one of them can't be as bad as he was. So if you give me, you know, they haven't ruled Grizzlick out, I'd be surprised if he played. But they haven't ruled him out.
I don't think he's skating yet.
Well, Cassidy said
he was back in Boston. He's feeling better.
Yeah, so,
you know, we're not ruling out that he could play again in this series. Anything's possible. I understand that. It doesn't seem very likely.
No.
You're not getting Kevin Miller back. No. You're probably not getting Matt Grizzlick back.
But that's,
and based on what I saw last night, yeah. I'll be surprised if Chara plays Thursday.
Me too. I'd be shocked, actually, because usually guys can sort of fight through it. They have the adrenaline. It's in-game. You don't even realize. Oh, yeah. You don't even realize how bad you're hurt and you play. And then the next day you wake up and you're like, oh, my God. Like, you can't even get out of bed or whatever.
Can you imagine how he must feel today?
Terrible. Just absolutely terrible. So I'd be surprised. A guy that tough to miss two periods of a game, I'd be shocked. Now, they do have the 2 days off rather than just the one.
That'll help.
But I'd be surprised if you saw him. But this team, and just in recent years, they've been more banged up in the past. Remember a couple years ago against Ottawa, they had no defensemen. They had to burn a year out of McAvoy because they literally had no defensemen. So I'm not going to use injury as an excuse. I mean, the Blues didn't have Vince Dunn for a while. He shows up yesterday. He looked great. He gave them a shot in the arm. So they didn't have him for a while. Rob Thomas has been out after the Torrey Krug hit. Sundquist was his own doing. That was a suspension. But they've missed
some
guys.
You're going to lose players throughout the course of the playoffs. That's always going to happen. But it's like the old Bill Parcells line. You know, you can take injuries unless a whole bunch of injuries happen at the same position.
Yeah.
And that's where I think you look right now. At least based on what we think is going to happen on Thursday, they're going to have to play with their number 7, 8, and 9 defensemen.
Right.
They're going to have to get minutes out of what they would consider their numbers 7, 8, and 9 defensemen.
Yeah, but Clifton's been playing a ton anyway.
He's been great.
And I know he's probably, what, 7 on your list, right? So he's,
yes.
So, but he's been playing a lot. So
and
it's
then
not
Moore
like,
and Kampfer.
Yeah, Kampfer, I mean, is obviously one that's not ideal. Like anybody who's just been out for so long, that's kind of like, oh, boy.
Well, I saw people on Twitter last night. My buddy Andrew Raycroft was suggesting that, you know, is it time to play Juho Vaakanainen on Thursday? Now, we're talking about a kid who got concussed in his first game for the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
I think it was against St. Louis, if I remember.
I can't remember.
I'm not positive.
Okay.
He got hurt. He was kind of in and out of the lineup in Providence. Hasn't played a lot of hockey. He's a kid.
Well, in the
and we're going to stick him in game 5 of the Stanley Cup final?
Cassidy mentioned him yesterday in the postgame. He also mentioned Zboril, I think. I was like, what are we doing? Just go with Kampfer. Like they,
and Stephen Kampfer's got to be going, really?
He did say, you know, it's funny because I don't believe it, neither do you. But and you have to say this if you're the coach, but he said, well, Chara and Grizzlick, you know, both could be in or both could be out in game 5. And I'm like, well, I'm leaning towards both are out, but we shall see.
Man, I don't know. I don't know how you could expect anybody with a broken jaw to play in a Stanley Cup final playoff game. I mean, hockey playoffs are fast. They're pressurized. They can be physical. I just don't see how anybody could play with a broken jaw, but look, wire the jaw shut and take some fluids. We've seen hockey players do worse. So it's possible you'll see him out there, but I would never question the heart or the guts or the physicality or toughness of any of these guys that play in the NHL postseason. And Zdeno Chara is one of the toughest that's ever been. And if he could be out there, he's going to be out there. But if he's not, you know the guy is essentially on his deathbed. All right, yeah, that'll do it. The best in your sports talk for Wednesday, June the 5th. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Around the Dial. Subscribe now for the best daily recap in sports talk on radio.com or the radio.com app.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep. It's key.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
a lot.
And that's important, trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast, it's quick. The setup was so easy, it took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet relies on two lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.